Welcome to the Orlando North Church Podcast. Through this podcast, we hope you'll be both encouraged and challenged as you hear what God is speaking to you. Orlando North is called to go and be Christ's church to the world through the Holy Spirit by connecting people to God and to each other for His glory. More details about our church will be available at the end of this podcast. Now, enjoy this week's episode.
Last week of this worship series, what we have been talking about in this worship series is that worship is a response to someone or something demonstrating what we value or claim worth to. Okay? So that's all worship is. Worship is a response. It's not just saying, I love God. No, it's a response to that thing, to that something or someone demonstrating, I value you. I give you worth. I demonstrate love to you. This is the thing that I claim is the most valuable thing in my life. Now, we've talked about this. We have a trail of worship, right? Where all of us, every single one of us are great worshipers. All of us, regardless of our background, regardless of our beliefs, regardless of what denomination we grew up in, regardless of whether or not we believed in God, all of us are not only worshipers, but we're great worshipers. The problem is the object of our worship is often the wrong thing or the wrong person. We all worship someone or something, but the thing on our throne is often not Christ. And if it's not Christ, then our worship is directed to the wrong place, the wrong person, and we have a jealous God. Our jealous God will not share His glory with anybody else. He wants to be on the throne of our life. So we talked about this in the series. If you follow the trail that you leave behind in your life, your emotions, your affections, your decisions, your money, if you follow that trail, ultimately it will lead you to a throne. And on that throne, you will find who is sitting on the heart, on the throne of your heart. Who is your God? Who's your king? For some of you guys, it's a financial situation. For some of you guys, it's a relationship. For some, it's a house or a job or a title. For some of you guys, it might be sports. For some of you guys, it might be a girl, a boy, something sitting on the throne of your heart. Most of us that don't have Jesus sitting on the throne of our heart will follow that trail and we will find on that throne will be ourselves. I worship me. I worship me. The reason I live is to worship me. That's what we sing. We don't believe it, or we don't actually sing it, but we believe it, that I am on the throne. So this whole series, all 5 weeks, has been about getting ourselves off the throne and establishing Jesus on the throne of our hearts so that we can worship the right one. And when we worship the right one, the method, the methodology, the systems, all of it follows. The emotions, all of it follows. And worship isn't just music. Worship is our life. It's our absolute life. So today, here's what I want to do. I want to conclude with, this is so different. This is just a different way to conclude. I want to walk through a story real quickly in Luke chapter 19. And this is the story of Jesus and the triumphant entry pre-Easter, 1 week before Easter. And what I want us to notice today is how Jesus, how God wants us to worship. Not how we want to worship. Because listen, truth be told, what we just saw on video, that's awesome and that's great. But some of you guys are like, that's just not me. That's just not me. And that's cool. That's all right. And some of you guys are like, I can do that. Like, if that's a 10, I could go like 7, right? And I'll be all right. I can do 3. Maybe right now I'm on a 2 and I need to bring it up to a 3. And it's challenging. It's all these things. I just want us to be the worshipers that Jesus wants us to be. That's all I care about. I'm not trying to get the lights in the state. I'm trying to be worshipers that Jesus is asking us to be. So instead of saying, Jesus, this is how we should worship, let's look at the scriptures and have the scriptures dictate to us what God's way of worship is. Not who God worships. God doesn't worship anybody. But how are we supposed to worship God? So in Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 37, listen to these words. As Jesus was drawing near, already on the way down to the Mount of Olives, or down from the Mount of Olives, I'm sorry, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. So disciples are going crazy. Like, they don't know that he's about to run out of the grave, but they are going crazy. Okay? Loud voices. Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead. All this insane stuff is happening. Yeah! All right? Like, break a hip kind of, yeah! They're going nuts. The other version, what we're about to read, the other versions, other places this story is told, people are waving palm branches. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're going crazy. So the mighty works, they're seeing the mighty works that he has done, and with a loud voice they're declaring his praise. They're saying, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees, every time you see Pharisees, don't you just kind of cringe? Like, ugh. And then you're like, oh, part of my heart is Pharisaical? I just made that up. Just part of my heart connects with these religious dudes who don't like it the way that it's going now. They're like, it's got to be the way that I like it. It's got to be my systems, my methods, my way. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." They're going nuts. They're praising him. They're going crazy over him. The Pharisees are like, "Rebuke your disciples." They're spazzing out. Chill, disciples. Come on, man. No raising hands, no shouting. Chillax. Tell them, Jesus, rebuke them. Come on, go after them. What does Jesus say? I love this because Jesus just talks smack. This is me telling you guys that like it a certain way and you don't like it other people's way. I'm going to get over it because this is what Jesus says. I tell you, if these guys are silent, the very stones are going to start crying out. Somebody is going to give me praise. If it's not you, somebody will give me praise. So in this is what I want, and we're not going to talk through this scripture very much, but in this, here's the warning. Here's the warning. Yes, the object of the worship, they were challenging the object of the worship. They're saying Jesus shouldn't be praised, but God should be praised. But if you read that scripture, it says they were praising God as they declared Jesus king. So they were having the correct object of worship. And the Pharisees are like, Jesus should not be the object of worship. So there's that. But they're also saying, don't do it that way. The method, the system, the way you're doing it, the loud voices, the Hosanna, Hosanna, rebuke them. And Jesus is like, you don't get it. Somebody or someone is going to praise me. Will it be the new worship leaders? If you didn't listen to last week's sermon, you got to go back. Like, I don't brag about my sermons, but last week was good. And you got to listen to it. So you need to go back and listen to it. That felt a little bit like Stephen Furtick. Stephen would do that. Yeah, that's a really good message. I didn't mean it like that. It was good. You need to listen to it. We are the new worship leaders. Satan rebels. Satan is the one. He's the worship leader, the archangel of heaven. Satan gets the boot. God kicks him out. It wasn't an epic battle. It was a one swift kick. You gone. Okay, so he's out. And all of a sudden, there's a vacancy for worship leaders. And Jesus says, I'm anointing my church to be that. We're like, I don't like it that way. Put my hands in my pocket. Jesus, I kind of love you. And I'm not saying you got to go all crazy. I'm just saying the rocks are going to cry out if you don't do your job. And I don't want a rock taking my place. I don't want a rock taking my place. Somebody else said me neither. So God has a trail. We have a trail of our worship to our throne. But God has a trail as well throughout scriptures. And if we follow that trail, we find out the method of worship. If we follow God's trail. How many of you guys love the book of Psalms? Like in the morning, you're like, I need something. Go to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is primarily written by David. It's the largest book of the Bible, 150 chapters in it, right in the middle. Did you guys see Chase looking for his scripture today? He's over here searching for it, and it was Lamentations, so he's having a hard time finding it. Psalm is an easy one to find. Go to the middle, 150 of them. If you don't know which ones to read, 23rd Psalm. Psalm 27 is one of my favorites. Psalm 150. If you want something that summarizes our whole worship series, go to Psalm 150. It's just amazing stuff. And this is David. It's a book of songs, a book of celebration, a book of doubt, a book of frustration, a book of questions, a book of praise. All of it is in this book. And it's amazing stuff. Now, in this book, I want to talk about God's praise and God's worship, what he anticipates and what he expects from us, because in the book of Psalms, you know this, right? The book, and we've talked about this, the book of Psalms looks more like Saturdays in America than it does Sundays. Saturdays when the Gators play, or FSU plays, or Alabama plays, or Michigan plays, or Ohio State plays. When all these teams play, what kind of emotions do we experience in those 3 hours as our team is playing? They score a touchdown, total praise. Craziness. They win the game, total praise. They turn the ball over, they throw an interception. No! There's doubt, there's frustration. You're an idiot, coach. What are you doing? You're a bad quarter. There's doubt, there's frustration, there's emotion. There's total worship on Saturdays. And Jesus is coming and saying, man, what about Sundays? What about Monday through Saturday? Who are you worshiping? How are you worshiping? Do we worship the Gators in Michigan and Florida State and the Tide? Do we worship them more than we worship our Creator? Because listen, Jim Harbaugh don't know me. Urban Meyer doesn't know you. Nick Saban doesn't know you. The football people, those are the coaches of the teams I was naming. They don't know you. They don't give a hoot about you. You're worship, worship, worship. The creator of the universe who knows you by name knows every hair on your head. You're like, eh. All right. What I want to talk through today is seven different words. This is really cool. I warned you about this last week. In the Hebrew language, the original language of the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, not in English, for all of us Americans who think the world revolves around us. The Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek. The New Testament in Greek, the Old Testament in Hebrew. As you study it, it's amazing how you find out how vanilla the English language is. It's very simple. It's very hard to express in English because in the Hebrew, these words that they have, very poetic, and they tell stories. So one word in Hebrew is like a paragraph in English where we've got to explain what they meant. So in the Hebrew, in the book of Psalms, we see the word praise over and over and over again as a command. Praise him, praise him, praise him. Or as in a celebration, I praise you. And what's really interesting is the Hebrew word for praise, there's seven of them. Seven. And every time it comes up, we English people just say praise or extol or thanksgiving. That's the best we can do with the language. So today I want to walk us through the book of Psalms, and I want to walk through the seven different words that we have in the Hebrew language for praise, which gives us a method on how we are to praise, how we are to worship. The method, God's way, not my way. Is that okay? What we've tried to do in our church is give us the demonstration, understand that the story that's being told in the universe is not my story. It's his. We are important pieces of that story, but it's his story, his story. It's all his. So let's find out how he wants us to worship. So the first Hebrew word that I want you to see and notice is the word Hallel. Hallel is the most common one. This is the one that's used most throughout the Old Testament scriptures, particularly in the Psalms. It means to rave. Listen to this. Some of you guys, you tuck your hands in the pocket, people. You're about to get nervous, okay? You ready? Kim Reynolds is about to shout. Hallel. To rave, to boast, to celebrate, to be clamorously foolish. This is really interesting. You recognize the word at all? Hallel? You do, don't you? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. There we go. Very good. That's so weak, but that's good. The word hallelujah comes from Hallel. There's two parts of the word. We've talked about this in February. The first part is Hallel, to rave, to boast, to be clamorously foolish. The other part is Jah, hallelujah. Jah is short. It's shorthand for Yahweh, the personal name of God that the Jews wouldn't use because it's so intimate. It's so personal. So this is literally saying, when we say hallelujah, hallelujah, we are saying praise, rave, celebrate, be clamorously foolish to the one and only God. Listen, you can't say hallelujah to anybody else except Jehovah because it's his name in it. You can't say hallelujah to Baal. You can't say hallelujah to your football team. Okay, when they score a touchdown, you say hallelujah. Maybe you're talking to God, that thank God for the touchdown, but be careful. It's directed to God. It's a Christian, Judeo-Christian word. Hallelujah. To rave, to celebrate, okay? To rave. Eli did I don't want to embarrass you with the cool part, because the cool part is so funny. But he did a video on Instagram talking about passion. He was talking about the camp. He's like, man, it was just a big rave. It's a rave for Jesus. I can't believe I'm calling it a rave. And he's doing all these cool hand motions. It's like it was a rave, and it was a rave. I can't believe it's for Jesus. And it's exactly what it was. It was Hallel. These kids were raving for Jesus. This is what this one is all about. This is what this thing is all about. Clamorously foolish. This is the style God likes. I like it when you get a little bit crazy. I like it when you celebrate me. Makes total sense on Saturday, but on Sunday, for some reason, it seems entirely irreverent. Psalm chapter 35, 18. I will thank you in front of the great assembly, in front of everybody. Kids, you hear that? I will thank you in front of everybody. I will praise Hallel. I will rave. I will boast. I will celebrate. I will be clamorously foolish before all the people. I'm just going to praise you with all I am. I wonder if sometimes we're low-key, a little bit more conservative in our worship, because we're more concerned with our ego than we are with what God wants. And believe me, this isn't a pump me up, just, hey, woo. No, this is, hey, let's go from here to here. What's the next step God wants for me in our worship? Let's grow. Let's develop. Let's be disciples. You remember the story in 2 Samuel chapter 6? The Ark of the Covenant is coming through. okay? And David is king, and he's married to this lady named Michal. Michal is Saul's daughter. And Michal looks out the window and sees David. And this is what happens. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. The other version, in Kings or Chronicles, the story says that his clothes were off. Dude's dancing in his in his Fruit of the Looms. He's out there in his whitey tighties praising Jesus, because the emotion of it, the praise of it, the experience of Jesus took over so much. He just didn't know what to do, so he just went for it. Anybody at all besides me and Caden watching the NBA Finals right now? All right, so there's some of you. In game 3, Kevin Durant goes down. At the end of the game, LeBron James covers him. Kevin Durant buries a three-pointer. The media is making a big deal about what Steph Curry did when KD hit the three-pointer. Steph Curry doesn't know what to do. He's going crazy because this three-pointer happened. All of a sudden, Steph Curry literally does this. And they're mocking him. They're like, what in the world? They're using the emoji that looks like chocolate ice cream. They're like, what are you doing? He's like, I just didn't know what to do. The emotions of the moment. I just didn't. That's what I did, because I lost control. That was Hillel. When I experienced that I was dead in my sin, I was dead in the trespasses of my sin, and the Son of God came and died for me so that I did not have to be eternally separated from God. In that moment, it's better than a KD three-pointer. It's better than LeBron James throwing an alley-oop to himself at a critical game. It's so much better because it's Jesus. And in that moment, it's Hillel. I celebrate. I rave. I'm clamorously foolish because I don't know what to do except worship. That's the first one, okay? The rest of them are much quicker. Number 2, the second Hebrew word used in Scripture for praise that we just say praise is yada. Not from Seinfeld, yada, yada, yada. Not Yoda, okay? Not Yoda, yada. And this means to acknowledge in public, specifically with an extended hand. To acknowledge in public, specifically with an extended hand. How many of you guys would say in here today you're Christians? Come on, show me. Yada. You just did it. When I ask you something and you respond to it, you are affirming what you believe. This is yada. It's an acknowledgement in public of something that you believe. So we do it because God asked for it. This is one of we're going to talk about two different words that talk about lifting our hands in worship. This is one of them. The other one we'll talk about in a minute. This one is simply acknowledging God. I lift my hands in extended worship to you. I acknowledge you. I praise you. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Can I give you the main reason we do it? He deserves it, and he told us to do it. See, we are in a generation, and shame on us, really, shame on us. We are a generation that challenges authority. We challenge the word of God, and we want the why behind everything. And that's good. David asks for the why in Psalms all the time. But it's a big picture why. Why did you do this? Who are you? And we understand who God is. But when he comes to these things where it's like, hey, just do this. Lift a hand, extended hand to me in worship. Why? Well, because I told you to. Because I know what's good for you. I know what's right, and I deserve it. That's absolutely right. I deserve it. So this one, yada, is an extended hand, is an acknowledgement in public that I believe in you. And he says to do it. Psalm chapter 138, verse 1. I will praise, I will yada you, O Lord, with all my heart. In a minute, we'll read another one that tells us about raising our hands. Number 3, this one's funny. There's some funny ones in here. Number 3, Barak. Anybody laugh? Thank you. Anybody? Barak. All of you guys giving him a hard time. Because you're like, he's a Muslim. Okay, all right. But do you know Barak is a Hebrew word? To surrender. To surrender. To kneel, to bow. I think that's interesting. I wish every president's name was to surrender, to bow to God. But that's the meaning of his name, Barak. Isn't it interesting that the word praise that we use in English could come as clamorously foolish, or it can be to surrender by bowing your knee? Psalm 103:1, praise Barak the Lord. It sounds weird, right? Barak the Lord. You want to say Obama the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name, so blessed by kneeling or bowing. He goes on in this passage of scripture and says, if you do this, I will provide for you. So the first one is like, go crazy. Then you got one, just acknowledge me. Now you've got one of, hey, surrender, bow your knee to me. If you do that, I will provide for you. This is, and in English, we're like, praise him. So much more. Number 4, Zamar. Jonathan's going to love this one. Zamar means to make music to God with stringed instruments. And not like the spa kind where you go and get a massage. It's like, you know, the kind that puts you to sleep. No, praise God with those strings. Pluck them. Go for it. Rip it. I think there's a cool factor to God where it's just like, you know what? Play those strings to me. Remember, Satan was a harp, okay? So strings were an important part. Play those strings to me. Psalm 92. It is good to praise. It is good to zamar the Lord and make music in your name, O Most High. Again, hallel, boast, rave, clamorously foolish. So some of you guys, it's been working in your feet for a week, and you're like, I want to move from my feet. Maybe I'm going to just, this is my next move. Maybe this is my next move. Maybe I'm just going to sing. Maybe that's my next move. We want to get you there. Listen, this stringed instrument thing, and it goes with some of our music, and it's why we do what we do. I grew up, there were three rules in our church. You guys had, some of you guys, how many grew up in conservative, strict churches, okay? You had these three rules, right? Number one, no rated R movies. Amen? Right? Number two, no drinking. Right? Number three, no dancing. No, right? No rated R movies, no drinking, no dancing. We preached against premarital sex because it led to dancing. Right? That's going to hit you later. So that was the church that we grew up in. That's what it's like. And there's this dancing thing, and God's going, wait a minute. If it's directed to me, if it's for me, if it's foolish and surrendered and all that, give it to me. Give it to me. It's mine. It's my praise. Number five, Shabbat, to address in a loud tone, to shout. Ooh, boy. Kim, you're doing well. Shabbat, God likes to shout. How much shouting goes on Saturdays? Shouting for the guys, I've already touched this, guys that we don't know, but yet God has made me. Psalm 63, because your love is better than life. Your love is better than golf. Your love is better than shopping. Your love is better than kids. Your love is better than the beach. Your love is better than a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Your love is unstoppable. It's better. My lips will glorify you. I will praise. I will Shabbat. I will address you in a loud tone. I will shout to you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. Number six, Toda, to lift hands in adoration. This is the second one about lifting hands in adoration. The first one was an extended hand, acknowledging that I am God's, or acknowledging that God is here. This one is a different one. Toda means to lift the hands in adoration. This is a surrender one. Imagine in this one that somebody comes up to you with a gun and says, give me all your money. And you're like, okay, it's all yours. I surrender. This is what it is without Jesus pointing a gun at you. This is, shoot him in the back with a gospel gun. I've been redeemed. No. Okay, never mind. So we got this. The gospel's coming at us. I surrender. I give up. I surrender. This is the act of worship that I feel the most when we're singing these songs. God, I don't get it all. I don't understand it all, but I surrender. I acknowledge you. I surrender. I acknowledge you. I surrender. I bow down. I surrender. It's all yours. This is praise. This is what we're talking about. Number seven. Oh, I forgot the verse. Sorry. Psalm 50, verse 23. He who offers praise, Toda, he who lifts his hands in adoration, he glorifies me. And to him that orders his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. Number seven. This is funny. Tehillah. Dude, how do you know this stuff? Henry and Amanda, your kid's talking about tequila in the front row. Okay, so tehillah, listen. Tehillah means, this is so funny, exuberant singing. Here's the funniest of them all. Same result. Exuberant singing, not the same thing. Okay? Tehillah. Psalm 34:1. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise, his tehillah, will always be on my lips. Some of you guys just found your life verse. His tehillah will always be on my lips. You're going to get it tattooed on your arm. By the way, people didn't even know I was the pastor preaching today because I wore a short sleeve, and all you guys that didn't know I had a tattoo, it's fake, it's Cracker Jack, it washes off. I don't know what you're talking about. Your tehillah will always be on my lips. Exuberant singing will always be on my lips. God enjoys exuberant singing. Worship, listen, we're about done. Worship is love expressed. Love expressed. If I have worship and I hold it in, it's not really worship. Worship is love, and it's a response to someone or something demonstrating its worth or value. So my worship comes out of my heart. It is my love. It's what I love. It's what I express. Imagine if you took your spouse, and for me, it's Melanie, and I married Melanie, and I just never demonstrated anything to her. I'm like, I love you. I said my vows on June 22nd, 1996. Is that right? Yeah, June 22nd. That's right. That is right. We're at 21 years in a couple weeks. So 1996, I said my vows. From that point forward, I don't need to express anything. You know I love you. Huh? That's going to work out well. But I need to hug her. I need to give her kisses that embarrass our kids. And that's good because they know I love their mama. So I'm going to hug her. I'm going to demonstrate my love for her. When I'm really, really trying to demonstrate my love for her, I'm going to put the dishes in the dishwasher. I'm going to do things that she didn't expect, didn't anticipate. I'm going to call her. I'm going to vox her just to tell her how cute she is. I'm just going to let her know, listen, I love you. My love of you is expressed. If I just held it in, it's nothing at all. Worship is something we need to release. Worship is something that we need to let go. Did you know God has a love language? This is really cool. How many of you guys have read the book, The Five Love Languages? And you all know, this is my love language. A love language is how you need to speak to me in order for me to receive that love. So here's the problem. Say in your marriage, your wife has a certain love language and you have a certain love language. What we tend to do is treat our wife with our love language. This is what speaks to me, so I'm going to give that to you. For me, my love language, no doubt in my mind, is words of affirmation. If you encourage me, if you tell me I did a good, that's why I'm cut so hard when you critique me. I understand it, I get it, but when I get words of affirmation, I'm just like, superhero. Let's do it. God, we're good, okay? And Melanie knows that, so Melanie speaks into me like that. But that's not her primary love language. She enjoys it, but that's not her primary love language. I've got to, as her spouse, as one who loves her, I've got to find out what makes her tick. How I can express my love to her the best. Not what works for me, but work what works for her. And this is the same thing with God. God's going, here's how I want you to praise me. May not be your way, but this is how I receive your worship. And all these different things. Let me fill in the blanks for you and we're done. I don't want to preach on this. The most important commandment, you know it, love God, love neighbor. So you can study this on your own, Mark chapter 12. But in each one of these things, he said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, these things. So he's telling us how to love God. So number one, love him with all your heart. So what does that mean? It means expressing my affection to God. And then the question is, what do I love the most? What is that thing in my heart that I love the most? I need to love him with all of my affection. Make sure it's God. He wants you. Number two, all your mind. Focus my attention on God. What do I think about the most? Ladies, how much does it mean when husband or boyfriend calls you and says, hey, honey, just call and say, I'm thinking about you today. That's it. No other reason. Thinking about you. You're on my mind. You're on my heart. This is what this commandment means. Everything you do, can you think about me? When you're going to work, when you're going to school, hey, let's just talk to me. Let's be in communion. Let's be in relationship. Don't save it for Sundays. Don't let it just be half an hour in the morning. Let's talk. This is what it means to pray without ceasing. Let's talk. Let's go for this. And then finally, worship with all your strength. Use my abilities for God. Whatever those gifts are that you have, use them for God. What do I do most? Is it football? Is it art? Is it music? Is it work? Do it for the Lord. And remember, you're not trying to earn God's love. You already have it. You already have it. Now that you are in a relationship with him, he's like, express your love to me. Express your love to me for who I am and what I have done in your life and that I am faithful. Parents, some of you guys, I texted you this week. What did your hearts do when I texted you and told you what your children were doing right down the row from me? He's faithful. He's got your kid. All 23 of those kids that went to youth camp one day will spend eternity in heaven with me and with you. He is faithful. If you have nothing else to worship him for, which, by the way, you do, can we celebrate that? Can we celebrate what he's doing in our church and our kids and our families and our homes and let it be contagious and spread through this entire church? And we say, God, what do you want from us? He's like, I want Hallel. I want exuberant singing. I want you to be clamorously foolish. Don't worry about the person next to you. Don't give a hoot about the person next to you in terms of worship. I mean, love your neighbor, okay? Give a hoot in that way. But in worship, man, give me what I deserve. Surrender. I confess you are God. I surrender. I bow my knee. I sing. I shout. I give you this. And so my goal in this entire worship series, and by the way, it's worked. My goal in this entire worship series is to take you from this ground level of what we think worship is and say, God, you are on my throne. Now, how do I do it well? How do I take my affections and my emotions and my mind and my life and point it all to you with passion? With passion. Because you deserve it. You are better than the tide. Roll Tide. You are better than Michigan. You are better than Ohio State. You're better than the Gators. You are better than Orlando North Church. You are better than the systems that I'm going after. You're better than the dollar amount I want. You're better than the house. You're better than the car. You're better than the broken. You're better. So I'm going to give you everything. He deserves it. Amen? Amen. Here's what I want to do. Band, will you come up? Lights go off so nobody sees you. I want to worship for one minute. We're going to do What a Beautiful Name It Is. Michelle wails this song. She sings it better than the people on Spotify. She hates it that I just said that. And so she's going to sing this, and I want us to sing, and I want us in our hearts, whatever God is telling us to do this morning, whatever it is in your heart, you know what, God, you know what? Today's the day. I give it to you. I surrender. You want praise? I give you praise because what you want, I want to give you your love language. I want to surrender to you. I want to sing loudly to you. I want to declare that you are my God. I want to declare that you are my King, and I don't care who knows it. Listen, if you're in here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you are in a good place. In the past month, maybe 5 weeks, 20 people have given their lives to Christ through this church. This could be your day. This could be your day. This could be your day. Where you say yes to Jesus. Listen, if you want eternal life with Jesus, not separated from him, but with him forever, he offers freedom to you through himself. Jesus comes into our life. Jesus comes to this earth, dies on a cross for our sin. So all of us who are sinners, if we say yes to Jesus, by faith, we can't earn it. We can't do anything for it. By faith, we say yes to Jesus. Jesus, you are Lord. I'm a sinner. I come to you. I surrender to you. I make you the Lord of my life. Instead of trying to clean up everything and then come to him and say, Lord, I've got all these issues. I'm bringing all my baggage with me. And Jesus isn't afraid of your baggage. Bring it. He's going to say, we'll work with that. It's not going to be fixed overnight. You're still going to struggle. I've been a Christian for 40 years and I still struggle every day. Until eternity comes, we're going to have that. So don't think for a minute that you got to clean yourself up. He's saying, bring the baggage. Say yes to me. Put your faith in me. If you put your faith in me, you will have eternal life. In me, because I am faithful. I am faithful. Everybody bow your heads for a moment. This morning, if that's you, listen, if that's you, I'm asking you to be brave. In the midst of all this, I am asking you to be brave. If that's you today, if you say, you know what, today is the day. Today I want to give my life to Christ. I want to surrender my life to Christ. I've separated. I'm far from him. There's something in my heart going, I need to give my life to him. If that's you, just raise your hand right now. I'm the only one looking around. Thank you. Anybody else? Pray these words with me. Heavenly Father, this morning, I receive your Son, Jesus, into my life. Everything that he has done, I receive it. I'm a sinner. I have been separated from you. But today, because of your grace, because of your name, because of what you have done, I am set free and I am a child of God. Forgive me of all my sin. Live in my life. I make you Lord. And I come into your family. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Now everybody stand and let's sing this song together.
If you're not already a part of Orlando North, please know that we'd love to have you come visit us on Sunday morning at 10:30 for our weekly worship service. We're located at 1021 Douglas Avenue in Altamont Springs, Florida. Come as you are and be welcomed by a church that is eager to connect with you. For more information about our church, you can check us out on the web at orlandonorth.com.